for tapes, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Friday afternoon, December the 28th, 2001. Midwinter camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Dr. Bill Null, Salina, Kansas, is the teacher of the afternoon.
Talk about the Adamic birthright. You know, the Adamic birthright is rejection. You see, you have a rebellious nature that you inherited from your father, Adam. Does everybody buy that?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, the nature that you inherited from Adam is one of rejection. Let me show you. If you take Webster's New World Dictionary, college edition, second college edition, published in 1976, and you open it to reject, it says first is to refuse to take, refuse to agree to accede to use or believe. When you refuse to take, refuse to agree to God's words, you're rebelling against it. Okay? Okay. The second one is to discard, throw away as worthless, useless, substandard, or to cast off. A reject is something that is worthless, it's second class, it's got a defect in it, and it is rejected. The third one is to rebuff, especially to deny acceptance, care, and love to someone. When you reject someone, you rebuff them and refuse to give them love and acceptance. Now, what is rejection? The dictionary says rejection is the act of rejecting or being rejected. And so you see, rejection is twofold. It's the act of rejecting, of refusing to do something. That's the first one. Going out from you, I refuse to accept that. I will not abide by that. That is not what I want to do. Rebellion. Rebelling against the standard. Or it comes into you as someone else refusing to accept you, refusing to give you love. Do you understand? Do you see that? It's twofold. The coming in and the going out. Okay. Now, let's look. With that in mind, I looked and looked and looked for passages on rejection. And I read everything I could find on it, and I couldn't find anybody that gave me any scripture for rejection that I could understand, that I could say, this is a scripture that gives us our birthright of rejection. And then one day I was studying covering, and this I found this. Let's look at Ezekiel chapter 16. Now, this is Old Testament prophecy, and so it is done in type and shadow. Old Testament prophecy had a fulfillment that was immediate and a fulfillment that was into the future. It was twofold frequently. Okay, let's look what it says here. Again, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, cause Jerusalem to know her abominations. And say, thus says the Lord God to Jerusalem, your birth was from the land of Cana, which means rejected or despised. Your father was an Amorite, which means pride. And your mother was a Hittite, which means fear or terror. So you got pride on one side and fear on the other. Okay. As for your nativity, on the day you were born, your navel cord was not cut, nor were you washed in water to cleanse you. You were not rubbed with salt, nor swabbed with salt and clothes. No, I pitied you to do any of these things for you, to have compassion on you. But you were thrown out into an open field when you were loathed on the day you were born. Now, that's utter rejection.
They said, but the Bible says that is to Jerusalem. Well, that's what it says. Now, let's look at Galatians. Hold your finger. We're coming back there. So let's go over to Galatians chapter 4, starting with verse 21. Tell me, do you not desire to be under law? Do you not hear the law? For it was written, Abraham had two sons, one by the bondwoman and one by the free woman. He who was of the bondwoman was born according to the flesh, and he who of the free woman was born through the promise. All right, he's talking about one child was the child of the flesh, and the other was the child of the promise. Okay, the miracle child and the natural child. Which things are symbolic? For there are two covenants, one from Mount Sinai, which gives birth to bondage, which is Hagar. For Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, which corresponds to Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage with her children. But the Jerusalem above is free and the mother of us all. Now it says there that Jerusalem is our mother. There are two Jerusalems. One is the one that's in bondage, the unsaved people, and the one that is above the Jerusalem of promise, which is the mother of us. Freed from the law of bondage. Okay. Now let's look over in Revelation chapter 21 to give you something else confirming scripture. Revelation chapter 20 verse 2. Then I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from heaven, out of heaven, from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Okay. And look over in verses 9 and 10, 9 said, Then one of the seven angels, who had the seven bowls filled with the last seven plagues, came to me, talked to me, said, Come, I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great high mountain in the great city of the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. Now you know that we are the bride of Christ. And so Jerusalem, when you see Jerusalem in the Old Testament, that can refer to the church, the old church, Hagar, or the church of Rebecca. I get those two confused. Rebecca, the bride of Isaac. Okay. So here we go. Praise your Lord Jesus. Now, let's look back at Ezekiel 16. When I passed by you and saw you struggling in your own blood, I said to you in your blood, live. Yes, I said to you in your blood, live. And Jesus Christ walked by you before the foundation of the earth, and he saw you, a rejected child. And he said to you, live. I'm going to choose you. Now, y'all have any doubt that you were chosen by God before the foundation of the earth and your name was written in the book of life before the foundation of the earth? I can show it to you in the Bible. A half a dozen places. Now, I won't get into how free will comes into that, but I think it does. God foreknew because according to his foreknowledge, he knew what you were going to do. He knew how you'd react. And so he knows all things. He's all-knowing. And so by his foreknowledge, he entered your name into the book of life. And he came by you and said to you, live. Live! And you lived. You weren't rejected anymore. You lived. And what does it say here? I made you thrive like a plant in the field, and you grew and matured and became very beautiful, and your breasts were formed. Your hair grew, but you were naked and bare. And when I passed by you again, I looked upon you, and indeed it was a time of love. So I spread my wing over you and covered your nakedness. Yes, I swore an oath to you and entered into a covenant with you, and you became mine, said the Lord God. And that's the day of salvation. That's the day that you became a child of the living God, that he put his wing or the corner of his garment over you. And you became a child of the living God, no longer a rejected child. Your heritage from your Adamic nature is rejection. You were rejected. That says so. You were rejected. but that Jesus Christ chose you. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, destined to be a holy people, and no longer rejected, no longer unloved and unwanted, no longer fearful. He did not send to you a spirit of bondage again to fear, but he sent the spirit of adoption, where you cry, Abba, Father. Amen. You don't have to be fearful anymore because he sent his spirit of adoption into you, and he adopted you and made you a child of the living God, no longer a rejected child that is fearful and thanks and unwanted and unloved. Got to work for it. Oh, God, what can I do to make somebody love me? What can I do? How can I do? What can I do? How can I manipulate things to make people love me? God loves you. Loved you from the foundation of the earth. Now, he spread his wing over you and covered you. Now, 1 Peter 1:2 describes you as being chosen from the foundation of the earth. He says, elect according to the foreknowledge of God, and the sanctification of the Spirit for the obedience and sprinkling of blood. Ephesians 1:4 and 5 said you were elected before the foundation of the earth. Ephesians 1:4 and 5. And just as he chose you before the foundation of the earth that you should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined you to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise and glory of his grace which he's made us accepted in the beloved. You see that?
Praise you, Lord God. Well, when did rejection enter into mankind? Rejection entered into mankind in the Garden of Eden. Praise you, Lord God. You all know that Satan, the devil, that serpent of old, it says in Revelation, that serpent of old, it says just as a serpent in Genesis. But in Revelation chapter 12, it says, that serpent of old, who's deceived men, the devil, Satan. And so the devil, the serpent, came to Eve and deceived her. And she rejected God's instruction. She rejected God's instruction. Now her husband was standing right there with her, but he loved her so much that he stood with her. And he rebelled, and he was not deceived, but he rebelled against God. He joined her in rebellion. Look at Genesis. Well, it says in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 14, that if you want to look at that, it says, for Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived fell into transgression. Okay? And look at Genesis 3, 6. The way that I was always taught was that she got deceived and ate of the apple, and then she ran off and found a husband and brought him back. But that's not what the Bible said. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, Genesis 3:6, was pleasant to the eyes, a tree desirable to make one wise, she took the fruit and ate, and gave also to her husband with her, and he ate. That would lead you to believe he's standing there right beside her all the time, wouldn't it? Praise God. And he rejoined her. And they are in the same deception, and this is the same deceptions in the world today. Look at 1 John 2:16. You know, there's so much in here that you can't teach it all. I try sometimes to teach it all, and there's just so much here you can't teach it all in one sitting. But it says, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but of the world. And look it up in verse 15. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. I pray lots of times for people to receive a revelation of the unconditional love of the Father, and some people are unable to receive it. And I said, Lord, why is it that these people can't receive this? And he gave me that verse. They love the world and the things in the world. You love the world or things in the world, you will have a hard time perceiving God's unconditional love for you. That's tough. That's a tough verse. But you need to take it before God. Okay. Now, how did Adam and Eve know that rejection, i.e. rebellion, had entered into them. How'd they know? Well, let's look at Genesis 1:21. It says, you know, that can't be right. 2:26. It says, let us make man, Genesis 1:26. You know, I double-checked these things and rechecked them, and 3 months later I found I made an error. Genesis 1:26 says, then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Now that word image there, it comes as a Hebrew word, has come down to the modern Hebrew to mean to have your photograph taken. The root of that word has come down into modern Hebrew to mean to have your photograph taken. So man looked like God, God's image, and his likeness. Now God, look at Psalms 104:2 says, you cover yourself with light as a garment. You stretch out the heavens and the earth. Bible commentators believe that Adam and Eve, when they were created in the likeness of image of God before the fall, were covered with a light just like God. Where else do we have this brilliant light in the resurrection body displayed to us? On the Mount of Transfiguration, they glowed. Well, Adam and Eve glowed like this, and when they fell, they believed that they lost the light, and they knew they were naked. They knew that they didn't have the light covering anymore. So they made fig leaf coverings for themselves. Now, what did they cover? History would have you, and polite art would have you, say that they covered their sexual parts. I think you tried to cover the soul. That's my personal opinion, okay? I say, I think you tried to cover the soul. That's Bill Null's opinion. Now, you can say, well, they covered the soul. Where's that? Well, that's the artist's opinion. The Bible doesn't say. But Jesus said, I wanted to cover you with my wings as a hen covers her chicks. When you are redeemed, the kinsman redeemer covered Ruth with the corner of his garment. And she said to him, take me under your wing. It's an interesting that the word used for wing there is also interpreted as the corner of your garment. The large King James will have in the reference, have a little bit over here, it says the corner of his garment. And he said, take me under your wing, and then he covered her with the corner of his garment. What she was saying to him is, Boaz, marry me. Do for me what is obligated under the law because you are a redeemer kinsman. And you are obligated under the law to redeem me. Or the law of the Godel. He said, well, there is one closer kin than I. But I will go to him, and if he will not redeem you, I will. In other words, if he won't buy that land and you come with the land, marry you and raise up seed for your dead husband, I will do it. The other man said, well, I can't do that. It will endanger my inheritance for my other children. I will endanger my inheritance. And Boaz said, then I will do it. And we all know that Obed was born from that union, who was the father of Jesse, who was the father of David the king. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Okay. So they made a covering of leaves. But God made another covering for them. Look at Genesis 5. Oh, not Genesis 5. Genesis 3:21. Okay. Also for Adam and his wife, God made tunics of skin and clothed them. You know what that means?
What is the implication there? That is the first time in the Bible it speaks of the shedding of blood. That's the first blood shed in the Bible. It's when God sacrificed the innocent animals to cover the sin of Adam and Eve. And he thereby instituted the principle that an innocent animal could atone or could cover your sin. You all buy that? Now, where else does it say that animal sacrifices were accepted from God? Well, it says over in chapter 4. chapter 4, verse 4. Abel brought the firstlings of the flock and their fat, and God respected his offering. Cain brought the offering of fruit of the ground of the Lord. He did not respect Cain in his offering. Cain was angry and his countenance fell. Now, Abel knew God had instructed those boys on what was right. And so what did he say to us? What did he say to Cain? I mean, to Cain. And so God said to Cain, why are you angry? Why is your countenance fallen? If you do well, if you do what I've told you to, you'll be accepted. If you do not do well, sin lies at the door. And its desire is for you, but you should rule over it. And that word sin, that's an interesting word. In Dr. Maxwell's, I think it's Maxwell, book of spiritual warfare, he says that the word, the root word for sin there, comes from the Acacian word, resmusin, which means demon. Now I asked my son, who's a Hebrew, who knows Hebrew, I said, is this right? He says, Dad, I don't know. I don't know Acacian. But I know what the resmusin are. I said, what are they? Said, you remember when I took you through the Museum of Natural History in London? I said, yeah. You remember we went through the Assyrian portion? Yeah. You remember those funny-looking things that look like they're half-man? I said, you mean those funny-looking demon objects? He said, yeah. Those were the Rasmussens, and they stood outside of the building. And they could be a benevolent force for those coming in, or a malevolent, depending on whether or not you had sacrificed to the gods to control them properly. If you'd made an adequate sacrifice, they were your protectors. If you had not made an adequate sacrifice, then they would harm you. So that's the root of this word sin, which would indicate that sin is the opening for demonic forces. It's lying, when you sin, it's lying at the door there to rule over you. It's right there, it's waiting. But if you don't straighten this mess out and do what I told you to, that's going to rule over you. And you know, it's interesting what Cain's response was to God. Tell me what his response was. Now, he rejected God. So what came out of him? Stubborn, willful silence. He didn't say anything to God. Not recorded that he even answered God. What did he do? He took his brother out in the field and killed him. Murdered him. That was his response. Show him. He just took the brother out and killed him. So you see, that rejection then is manifested in rebellion by stubborn, willful pride. Now, stubborn, willful pride feeds rebellion, feeds deception. It says so in Nehemiah. I better look it up. If I'm going to put it on the tape, it's exactly what it's chapter 9, verse 16. But our fathers acted proudly and hardened their necks. They would not heed your commandments, refused to obey. They were not mindful of your wonders that you did among them, but they hardened their necks as in the rebellion. And so pride, stubborn, you know, harden your neck means stubborn pride. They hardened their necks because of their pride. And that's what Cain did. He hardened his neck for stubborn pride and went out and murdered him. He's bitter and angry. Did you know that rebellion and bitterness have the same root in Hebrew? Mara. If you're bitter, you will rebel. You stay bitter long enough, rebellion will come in. And if you stay in rebellion long enough, bitterness will come in. Bitterness will go down into you and the rebellion will come out of you. And bitterness will make itself known through anger, rage, hostility, and so forth. Okay. Praise God. Okay. So how are we covered today? Well, that was codified, the principle of using. Well, where's another place that he used the animal sacrifice? Let's go over to chapter 9. Chapter 8, verse 22, verse 20. Then Noah built an altar to the Lord and took every clean animal. Clean animal? Well, yeah, clean animal. Well, look back over in chapter 7, verse 2. You shall take seven of each and every clean animal, a male and his female, and two animals of the unclean. So God had told men which animals were clean and unclean long before the law. And over here he says, you take the clean animal and offer the burnt sacrifice. The Lord smelled the aroma, soothing aroma. The Lord said in his heart, I will never again curse the ground for man's sake, although the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth, nor will I again destroy everything, living thing, as I have done. See, that sacrifice of those clean animals turned God's law. That principle is established in the first 9 chapters of Genesis. Y'all see that? That the clean and which animals were clean and acceptable God was established. Now later, I don't know how many years, but quite a few thousand years, at the time that Moses led the people into the wilderness, God codified this in the Levitical law that we have today of the clean, the unclean animals, and the various sacrifices, all of which are a type of Jesus Christ. And until from that day until Jesus Christ, God covered the sins with the blood of innocent animals. When you wanted to confess your sin, you came in and you brought a clean, perfect, innocent lamb with you. If you couldn't afford a lamb, you had two little turtle doves. And you brought it in and you told the priest, and the priest stood over this animal and he had you confess that sin and transfer it to that animal, and they killed the animal. The animal died for the sin. The wages of sin is death. The animal died instead of you. And then they had a ritual that they went through, which was prescribed by law, and y'all can read all those in Leviticus. And I would encourage all of you to read them and see how they apply to Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, kinsman, who they were a type of him who was to come later. And if you understand the offering, it gives you a greater impact on your life. Of God's character. You know, he said that you could not have unleavened bread. I mean, you couldn't have leavened bread on a sacrifice. You'll all know that. That you couldn't put yeast in the bread that you brought for the sacrifice, except one exception. There were two exceptions. One was on the day of Pentecost. I won't go into that one. But the other was the peace offering. And you know what the peace offering was? The peace offering was an offering that you made to God because you want to thank him, because out of a grateful heart. And so if you live too far away to bring your animal, you transferred it into money and you got out and bought whatever pleased you. And you took it down to them and they killed it and you had a feast for your friends. And you invited all your friends to come eat for the peace offering. All your family, friends, you had a banquet down there and ate up that animal that you'd offered to God. And you got to eat it with leavened bread. You didn't have them little dry crackers. You had good bread to eat it with. He allows you to eat it with leavened bread. That's how much your God loves you. Look at that. That's the grace of God. He didn't require you. He wanted you to have a good time. Your God rejoices over you to do good for you. He's a loving God. He rejoices over you to do good for you. He's also a God of righteousness. And he will chastise you. He will chastise you, and he will rejoice over you to chastise you, to bring you to righteousness. He is a righteous God, and in the end, he must judge the world. In the end, he must judge the world. He's a righteous God. The reason he sent Jesus Christ to die for you is that you wouldn't have to suffer the same fate the devil suffered. For those people who do not come to Jesus Christ will be cast into the fire prepared for the devil and his angels. You see, the devil's sitting up there and saying, okay, Lord, I know that I rebelled against you. I know you've got that fire down there prepared for me and my angels. I know there's a time that we're going to be cast into it. You've told me all that. That judgment's been passed. But this man of yours, Adam and all his descendants, they rebel too. They're rebellious people. You've got to chunk them in there with me. And so God sent the perfect sacrifice, his son, to die. Your sin, once and for all. His sacrifice was perfect. And this is typified in the red heifer offering in Numbers, if you want to read about it. It's from thing from which the Catholics get the holy water that they sprinkle on you. They took the ashes of this red heifer and mixed them with water and sprinkled them. It would sanctify your flesh. You touched a dead animal or something or became unclean, you could come down. And it's spoken of in Hebrews chapter 10. It says, if the blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a heifer sprinkle cleanses to the purifying of the flesh, how much more will the blood of Jesus Christ, the Lamb without blemish, cleanse our conscience from dead works to serve the living God? That was a type of the grace stored up in Jesus' sacrifice. When Jesus died, his death was sufficient for all sins, all your past sins and all future sins that you repent of, because his grace stored up in the red heifer offering, typified by the red heifer offering. Okay. But you were rejected. Jesus. Now, we seek covering under the wing of God. The wing of God is our covering. Where is this wing talked about? Well, it's talked about in the cherubim, covering the mercy seat in Exodus. It's talked about in Psalms 57 and Psalm 57:1 and Psalms 17:18 and in Psalms 19:91. Let's look at Psalms 91. Everyone knows the great protection song. Let's look at it. You know, and you say, well, that's Old Testament. Well, it's in here with the Good Shepherd Psalm, you know, and everybody believes that the Good Shepherd Psalm is for today. It's right in here next to the Good Shepherd Psalm. And it says, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide or spend the night under the shadow of the Almighty. You shall say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in whom will I trust. Surely he will cover you, will deliver you from the snare of the fowler, from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. Now you can look at Psalm 57:1, Psalm 17:8, and Psalm 63:7 and see the same thing. And so you are covered. Now, David foresees that God will shelter his people under his wings. And we spoke of Ruth coming to Boaz, a type of the kinsman redeemer. And if you want to read Ruth, realize that Boaz is a type of Jesus Christ. Ruth is a type of the church. And she was redeemed as a kinsman redeemer. He puts her, he covers her with his wing. Just like Jesus said in Ezekiel 16, I covered you with my wing. I made a covenant with you. The time for love. Remember this. God does nothing except out of his love, his great love for you. While you were yet a sinner, he died for you. While you were yet a sinner, he sent his son, slain before the foundation of the earth, preordained to come and die for your sins, to save you from the fate that the devil is going to face. And the devil hates you for it. Why does the devil hate you? Because God has saved you. And you are the image of the living God. You are made in God's image. He can't touch God. He fought God once and he lost. God whipped him. But he can pick on God's image. There's a story told about, Derek Prince tells a story of in World War II, a woman had a, was engaged to a serviceman, and he left, and she put his picture up on the mantle, and he wrote back, they wrote back and forth, and the letters began to get a little infrequent, and one day a letter came and told her that he had found someone else. And she got so upset, she went home, and she took his picture, and she threw it on the floor, and she stomped on it. She couldn't touch that man, but she could touch his image. Then she took the picture and put it in the bottom of the parrot cage. And that's what the devil wants to do to you. He wants to put you in the bottom of the parrot cage. He'll kill you as slowly and as painfully as possible. To degrade you as much as possible. He hates you. He hates you with an unredeeming hate. Isn't that right, brother? Brother Pittman can tell you firsthand. But the devil hates you. And I tell you, you can't make a deal with him. I've seen people try to make a deal with the devil. Make a bargain with the devil. Can you imagine anything so foolish? The devil is a lie, the father of lies, and he will hold you to everything you're going to say you'll do, and he ain't going to do anything he promises, unless it's to his advantage. And he won't let you out of it. It's very, very difficult to break out somebody who's made a blood covenant with the devil. It can be done. God is gracious and merciful. It can be done. But it is not an easy task because the devil considers them his property. Praise your Lord Jesus. Okay. And you will be clothed with a habitation from heaven. Ezekiel shows that he's going to 7 and 8, God's going to cover you with his wing or the corner of his garment. Jesus in Matthew 23:27 says, he spoke of his wish to gather the children of Jerusalem under his wing as a mother hen gathers her chicks. Now, how will you be clothed? You will be clothed a habitation from heaven, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1 to 3. And this was demonstrated on the Mount of Figuration, Matthew 17, 1 to 2. Now, I'm not going to read all those verses because you're familiar with them. But on Matthew 17, he was clothed. That's how you're going to be clothed when you get your transfigured, your resurrected body. Now, we know that Moses, when he stayed in the presence of God, his face took on a glow and glowed light to the point he had to put a veil over his face. If you stay in the presence of God, that radiant beauty, God is such a beautiful. He dwells in inapproachable light. It is a light so strong that if you tried to walk into it, it would kill you, burn you up. That's the reason he travels in a whirlwind and a cloud. Read Ezekiel chapter 1. And you'll see he came in a cloud. And there was fire flashing around it. God lives in inapproachable light. When you see the resurrected Son, the second person of the Trinity, you will fall on your face as dead. Says so in Revelation. Says so in Daniel. You will not have the... I hear these people say, well, I talk to Jesus in the sweetest voice. I talk to the Father. Well, I just pick up the telephone. Hey, up there in heaven, Big Daddy! You know, it scares me to death when I see people do that on television. They just act like they just got a direct line. Just, hey there, Daddy, huh? Oh, yeah, Big Daddy up in the sky. Yep, he said he's going to multiply it 1,000 times. Now you boys send the money in, and you can get 1,000-fold return. 100-fold. Well, praise God, I tell you. I mean, it actually frightens me. I don't watch religious television because I get so turned off by this. Jesus, God, stop. Oh, God, have mercy on him. But I tell you, when he speaks to you, it'll roll over you like a steamroller. Okay. Now, what happens if we reject God's covenant? Do you think anybody would be so foolish as to reject God's covenant? Is there a place in the Bible where it describes what happens when you reject his covenant? Yes, look at Isaiah chapter 30. Now, I read to y'all yesterday all those good verses about the Old Testament being written for us on whom the end of age has come so we can learn. I won't read them today. But look at Isaiah chapter 30, and what does it say? It says, woe to the rebellious children, says the Lord, who take counsel, but not of me, who devise plans, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin. They walk down to Egypt, the world. They have not asked my advice to strengthen themselves with strength of Pharaoh. Who's in charge of the world system? The whole world system lies in the lap of the evil one, the devil. To trust in the shadow of Egypt, therefore the strength of Pharaoh shall be your shame, and the trust in the shadow of Egypt shall be your humiliation. Okay. Now, if you go back up and say, look at devised plans, in the margin it says to weave a spider's web. In other words, when you go down to make your own plan, and you don't ask God, but this looks perfectly logical, reasonable way we should go. Well, you know, Joshua did that once. Have y'all forgotten when Joshua did that? These people came in with their camels, and their bread was all moldy, and their wine sacks was all worn out. And they said, we come from a far village over here. We want to make peace with you boys. We heard what you did to them folks in Jerusalem. As they did not seek the Lord. They didn't pray. They made a covenant with those people. They found out they lived right over in the next county. They're not very far away. And God said, you go honor that covenant. And they were thorns in their eyes the rest of their life. They caused them to sin and caused them problems. And why? Because they devised a plan that looked logical, looked perfectly reasonable and logical. But they didn't ask us. They did not ask for the Lord, seek the Lord. They had everything they needed. They had their yearning, their thumbing. They could have said, Lord, is this the way you want us to go? And God would have answered them. We got the Holy Spirit now, which is the modern yearning and thumbing. Now you may have to fast a little bit. You may have to put off the desires of your flesh. You may have to wait a little while to hear his answer. But when you devise your own plan, your own reasonable, logical plan, and walk out from under the covering of God, you are covered by a spider web. Now, a wing don't have no holes in it. When you're covered with the wing of God, there ain't no holes. Can nobody see through that wing. But when you come by a spider web, the demons up here, and they got this big, long spear, you see, and they just put you down through them holes, and you, oh, Lord, he got me! And you're under. Now, you can straggle back up under the covering there and repent and say, oh, God, heal me. And God will heal you. But you've been shamed and humiliated. And you might have to pay a price. I remember once when I went through a very bad time and I owed a lot of money. I'd made some very bad decisions. And I was young in the gospel. And I was going to the Prosperity Gospel Church down there. And I was donating my money. And I fasted and I said, Lord, what are we going to do about all these debts? When are you going to pay them, Lord? And he spoke to me, and I'll never forget it. You're going to work and pay them off. But God, that's going to take 6 years! That's right. That's all he said. And I worked, and 6 years later, I was out of debt. But I was humiliated, shamed, and I learned a valuable lesson. I wasn't shamed. He told me he would protect me from open shame. What he said, I will protect you from open chain, and I will make sure, and I will see that your boys finish college. Two promises he made. He fulfilled both of them. By miraculous means. A way that I never dreamed of. But he made me walk in faith for it. But he gave me the strength. He gave me the strength to walk in faith for it. My accountant wrote my boys a letter and told them that there's no way they can stay in school. They're going to have to... I made too much money from Jim for them to get scholarships for loans. He said, you wasn't going to drop out for them. And they called me and asked me about it. And I said, no, that's not true. But I have them. I said, you got the money? I don't have it in the bank, but I have the firm assurances of it from the high source. You boys will stay in school. And they said something to me that floored me. They both said the same thing. Said, Dad, you've never lied to us. You say you got the money, I'm not going to worry about it. And they hung up, and I said, oh, God, give me that much faith in you, Lord. I need your faith, Lord. And that was in October. Bills were coming due the 1st of January. And somehow he gave me peace. I didn't think any more about it. About the middle of January, I saw my business manager coming out of the basement of the clinic carrying this tray of bills. I said, what are you doing? He said, oh, some woman out in California that left town 10 years ago owing you $400, and she has to know exactly how much it is because she got the mail to check today. She said she's got to get in the mail today. She wants to know exactly how much it is. I said, well, you find it. I found it, and I'm going to tell her she's holding on the telephone. He said, well, what you bringing all up? She said, this is the sixth call I've got today. And he said, I'm just tired of going down looking. And I collected 55 $20,000 that month in dead overdue. Now, if I wind up with $20,000 that was net to me, about 50% overhead, and I wound up with that that month. That was a account that had been written off, dead, forgotten about, but I never let them sue anybody. Because I didn't know who might be a Christian, who might not be a Christian, and so I just said, we ain't suing nobody. And God collected all those bills. The next year I wondered it's going to happen again, and God said no. But he gave me that money by a supernatural miracle. And I never, I didn't pray for that to happen. I just said, Lord, it's yours. It's your problem. You told me. And I believe you. And I'm doing all I can. And he did. He did. And my life since then has been one of I'll work as hard as I can, Lord, and I'll do what you tell me to, and you have to take care of the rest of it. And he always has. Anyway, I don't know how I got into that. But if you rebel against his and walk out from under his spirit, covering that he's provided for you, the plans that he has for you, you're walking out under a spider's web. And that demon sitting up there with big long spears, they're going to wound you, they're going to shame you, they're going to humiliate you, and you're going to get wounded. And you struggle back up on the wing, God will heal you. But God said it's much better if you stay under his wing and don't get wounded and humiliated. Now, he loves you, but he will let you make a fool out of yourself. Praise your Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 11. I want to show you another type here that God showed me. You may not quite see this the way I do, but I want you to look at it. Look at chapter 11. This is a promise, starting with verse 10. Starting with verse 9. And you will prolong your days in the land the Lord your God will give you to your fathers and to them and to their descendants, the land flowing with milk and honey. The land which you go in to possess is not like the land of Egypt, which you have come, where you sowed your seed and watered it by foot as a vegetable garden. Now, what does that mean? That means in Egypt they sowed their seeds and they got on the treadmill and they brought the water up from the river, up from the Nile, to water their fields. Y'all see that? Y'all all seen these treadmills where they work, and it brings the water up. They still use them in China today. And they still use them in some portions of Egypt. Okay. And you water and run. But the land which you cross over to possess is the lands of hills and valleys, which drinks water from the rain of heaven. A land which the Lord your God cares for you. The eyes of the Lord your God are always on it from the beginning of the year to the very end of the year. And it shall be that if you diligently obey my commandments, what I command you today, to love the Lord your God and serve him with all your heart and all your soul, then I will give you rain in your season, in your land in its season, the early rain, the latter rain, that you may gather your grain and your wine and your oil. I will send grass in your fields for your livestock that you may eat and be filled. And take heed to lest your heart be deceived and you turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. Lest the Lord's anger be raised against you, and he shut up the heavens, and there be no rain, and the land yield no produce, and you perish from it. You can read the rest of it there. But the type is that you're going, he's taking you out of a land, out of the world, where you had to work and make your own plans and do your own thing. And he's taking you into a promised land. A beautiful land with hills and valleys and beautiful fields. You don't have to stand on the treadmill all day. He will send rain. If you follow and stay under his wing, he will send rain on your field and grass in the pasture so that you will have a land of plenty and your needs will be met sufficiently. Not by your efforts, not by your plans, but by being obedient to God's plan, following his... Did you see the type there? He said, that's what he's bringing you into. Joshua led them into the promised land. Jesus leads you into a land of promises. A land of promises that if you obey, You will be a treasure to my heart. And I will meet your needs. I will protect you and keep you. And I will take all sickness away from you. And none of your cattle or people will miscarry or be barren. That's what he promises you. You know, it's all right to get healed, people, but it's a lot better to walk in divine health. And you walk in divine health by walking in the will of God. Okay? Praise your Lord. And so, praise your Lord God. All right, let's look at Proverbs 17:11. How does God send correction? An evil man seeks only rebellion. Therefore, a cruel messenger will be sent against him. Now, that word messenger there is angelos, which means angel. And so, if you are in rebellion against God, you can expect that a cruel messenger, a cruel angel will be sent against you. Now, lots of folks stay in rebellion all the time, and they have this evil angel with them all the time. And he's called the false comforter. But some folks talk to him so much they think he's the Holy Spirit. And he will deceive them. If they listen to him, they will come into deception. They get a deaf and dumb demon. And what does a deaf and dumb demon do? It will deceive you so that you cannot see. You can look at something and see something entirely different. Or you can hear something, but it's filtered through the demon and you hear something else. Now, it said in Isaiah that God sent this against the Israelite people so they wouldn't know who the Messiah was. That's in Isaiah, and it's also quoted in Matthew. And then it's quoted in Acts, and then it's quoted in Romans. And Paul in Romans chapter 14 calls it a spirit of stupor. And if you look that up in the Greek, it means to have paresthesias and to be sleepy. Sleepy to come and go, and paresthesias that you can't feel things like you should. This is the deaf and dumb demon. It comes and deceives you. And lots of times it's an evil angel that comes against people. Not only do they can get physically deaf from it, it brings in all kind of infirmity spirits, brings in the spirit of epilepsy, brings in the spirit of murder and suicide. Those things were all quoted when Jesus spoke to the child that had the deaf and dumb spirit, because this kind comes out only by fasting and prayer. But it also can bring in learning disabilities, dyslexia, ADD, autism. That is one of the great deceiving spirits. The other great deceiving spirit, as I see it, is a spirit of perverse spirit, which is a rebellious spirit, and these people act out. And they come into all kind of perverse behavior, all kind of deviant sexual behavior, all kind of deviant social behavior, and they are rebellious and angry and mad. Okay. And so, we have that. I wanted you to see that the birthright from Adam is rejection and rebellion. Now, I'm going to speak again on how this is manifested, what symptoms are manifested in your life. I can't possibly, it takes an hour to go through that. We've been talking over an hour now, and I think it's time to stop. It said that the brain can only endure what the fanny can endure. Brain can only absorb what the fanny can endure. And after an hour, you know, people need to get up, move around a little bit, and get the blood circulating and so forth. I want to have some prayer. We're going to come against the spirit of rejection, and we're going to break the curses of the evil angels and rebellion, and we'll come against the deaf and dumb spirits. Okay? Say, dear Lord.
Dear Lord.
Would y'all stand up? We can't pray sitting there. Say,
dear Lord.
I believe.
Jesus Christ
is the Son of God.
He was manifested in the flesh.
He died on the cross
for my sin.
He was raised from the dead
for my justification.
He ascended into heaven.
sits on the right hand of the Father, ever to make intercession to me. God is my Father. Jesus is my big brother. I have been accepted in the Beloved. I am a child of the living God. Thank you, Lord. I'm not a rejected child. I'm an accepted child. Thank you, Lord. I have a Father who loves me. I have a big brother who will protect me. He will run off the bullies. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. He is my master. He is my big brother. He is my redeemer. Thank you, Lord. I confess the sins of my ancestors. And my sin. Your word says, Lord. If we confess our sin, we are faithful and just to forgive our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Lord, I accept your cleansing. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you. Your word says that Jesus was made a curse for me, that I might be delivered from the curse of the law. Your word says, no weapon formed against me shall prosper, and every tongue that rises against me in condemnation, I refute and refuse. I refuse to accept every curse spoken against me. In the name of Jesus, I command it to drop off and to be of no effect in Jesus' name. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I bind and break all the power of the enemy, all the power of the occult, all the power of sexual immorality and whoredom, all the power of returning evil for good, all the power of all the other sins. In the name of Jesus, your word says, I forgive everyone who's ever hurt me, used me or abused me in any way contrary to the will of God. I forgive them. I ask you to bless them, Lord. In the name of Jesus, I break any curses or evil soul ties to anyone. In the name of Jesus, I call back my soul and I release from me any foreign soul. In the name of Jesus, I command all demons that have taken the place of my soul to leave me now. I bind them. I command them to be gone. Specifically, I bind the deaf and dumb spirit, the spirit of rejection and rebellion, bitterness, stubbornness and pride. In the name of Jesus, I bind these things. I command them to be gone now. In Jesus' name. For it is written, Joel 2:32, anyone calls upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered. Now take a deep breath and cough. All of you. Cough. Cough. Come on. Cough. Everybody. Come on. Out. In the name of Jesus. Come out of there. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. All of you demons, come out. Okay. Everybody have a seat now. For you who have never been through a mass deliverance service,
I say to you, and let what happens happen. Let what happens happen. You're worried about your dignity, and get your dignity back. Let your demons go. Don't keep it in. And we're going to come against the deaf and dumb spirits now, and the spirits of rejection. I'm going to teach some more tomorrow on rejection, and teach the physical manifestations of how they manifest in your body. And then we will go from there. Say, dear Lord, I love you. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for delivering me. Now, you deaf and dumb spirits, I bind you. I break your power over these people. I break your power over these people in the name of Jesus. I want all of y'all just to concentrate on what I'm saying, and don't pray in tongues and don't talk. Just concentrate on what I'm saying and set your will against it and push. It's like having a baby. A woman who has a baby will tell you you got to push that thing out. It's like having a baby. Or set your will against it until it leaves. Push it out with your will. In the name of Jesus, I bind the deaf and dumb spirit now. In the name of Jesus, I just bind him. I break his power. In the name of Jesus. I break the power of stupor and sleepiness and paresthesia. In the name of Jesus, I bind the manifestations of dumbness and deafness and epilepsy. In the name of Jesus, the power of deception. I break the power of deception. I break the deceiving spirits, seducing, deceiving spirits. I bind them in Jesus' name, and I command them to go in Jesus' name. All seducing, deceiving spirits, I bind you, and I break your power, and I command you to leave God's people now in the name of Jesus Christ. Go now in Jesus' name. All deception, all deceiving spirits, leave now. In the name of Jesus, I speak a clear mind. I speak life to their minds now. I speak life. I speak the Zoe life of God to their brains, to their souls, in Jesus' name. And I bind up these spirits. I command them to be gone. I come against the spirits of dyslexia in the name of Jesus Christ, the spirits of ADD and autism. I bind up these spirits that won't let people learn in the name of Jesus. I break their power in the name of Jesus, and I command them to be gone out of God's children. Go, all of you. I break the power of deafness now in the name of Jesus, and tinnitus and vertigo in the name of Jesus. I bind the spirits of deafness that would steal the healing from God's people, steal their hearing, and I bind them and I break their power. I bind the spirits of epilepsy in the name of Jesus. I bind the spirits of compulsive behavior in the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus, I bind you and I break your power. Compulsive behaviors, I just couldn't help it. In the name of Jesus, I bind that compulsive behavior now in the name of Jesus. I break its power and I say, come out in the name of Jesus, you deaf and dumb demons, you. I bind you and I break your power in the name of Jesus. I bind the spirits now of dumbness. It said they've been dumb. I break the curse of being dumb, of being stupid, of being foolish in the name of Jesus, of being moronic. I bind and I break the curse of moronic in the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus, I bind you and I break your power. And I speak to the spirit of moronic and I say, come out. Come out, moronic. Come on out. You can't stay in God's people. I bind you and I break your power. Come out of there in the name of Jesus, moronic. I put the hook of the Holy Ghost in your nose and I draw you out and I speak life to their brains now. I speak life to their cells. Speak the Zoe life of God to flow through them and make them the child of God he anticipated before the foundation of the earth. In the name of Jesus, I break your power. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I come against the spirits of depression and suicide in the name of Jesus. I come against the spirit of heaviness and depression and suicide and despondency in the name of Jesus. Despondency. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Just come on out. Heaviness and despondency and lack of joy, mourning. I bind mourning and ashes in the name of Jesus because he gave us beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. I bind you and I break your power. And I say you come out of God's children in the name of Jesus Christ. I break your power in Jesus' name. I bind the spirits now of insecurity, of fear and insecurity in the name of Jesus. I break their power. I break the power of fear and insecurity in the name of Jesus. I say, go. I break the power of fantasy, living in a fantasy world. I break the power of deep fantasy. Come out, fantasy, in the name of Jesus. Daydreaming in the name of Jesus. Air castles in the name of Jesus. Come out. Make-believe worlds in the name of Jesus. Deception in the name of Jesus. Being deceived and believing you'll make believe in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind you and I break your power. I command you to come out of God's people now in Jesus' name. All of you. In the name of Jesus, don't you turn. I speak to you into God's people now. I bind the spirit of stubbornness and rebellion in the name of Jesus. Stubbornness and rebellion, I break your power. Lord Jesus, just touch your people now. I bind the infirmity spirits in the name of Jesus. I bind the spirits now, congenital malformations of the brain in the name of Jesus. I break the power of that thing in the name of Jesus. I break its power. And I speak healing. I speak the Zoe life of God, the healing grace of our Lord Jesus Christ to flow through those brains, to flow through that brain in the name of Jesus. And I speak healing to it right now. Healing to it. Lord, let your healing grace flow through it for your glory, Lord. I speak healing to the ears. I speak healing to the eyes in the name of Jesus. I bind the spirits of glaucoma, of blindness in the name of Jesus. You can't blind God's people. They will perceive. I bind that spirit that would filter the vision so they cannot see the truth. I bind that spirit of deception that breaks them so they can't see the truth, that they can't read. When they read it, they can't see it. In the name of Jesus, I bind that spirit of death and dumbness in the name of Jesus. That, in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out in Jesus' name. Come on out there in the name of Jesus. You can't bind the people. You can't make them dyslexic anymore so they can't read and they can't see and they can't perceive. I bind you and I break your power. Come out of God's people. Come out. They will read the Word of God. They will understand the Word of God. I break the power of the Antichrist in the name of Jesus. The Antichrist spirits. Come out, Antichrist. Come on out. Come on out. You deceiving devils. You deceiving devils. You false comforters. You false spirits. Come out in the name of Jesus. I break your power and I command you to go. Go out of there in the name of Jesus. Just be gone in Jesus' name. Go! Go in Jesus' name. Go in Jesus' name. I break your power in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Be gone. I thank you and praise you and bless you and glorify you, Lord. In the name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. I speak healing and restitution now in Jesus' name. Be gone in Jesus' name now. In the name of Jesus. Lord, I just hold up the allergies now. I bind the spirit of allergies. I bind the ruler of allergies in the name of Jesus. I bind sinusitis, Lord. I bind toothaches in the name of Jesus. Root canal. I bind caries teeth in the name of Jesus. Abscess teeth in the name of Jesus. I break the power. I say, Lord, fill the teeth, Lord. Lord, give them some gold crowns. Give them some gold crowns to cover their teeth, Lord, so they'll know you've been there. Touch them, Lord, by your grace, Lord God. By your grace, Lord. Your grace, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Fill their teeth, Lord. You're the perfect dentist, Lord. You fill them. Put gold crowns in their mouths in the name of Jesus, Lord. I thank you and I praise you and I bless you and I glorify you, Lord. In Jesus' name, Lord. I speak healing to the thyroid gland now. In the name of Jesus, I bind the spirit of thyroiditis and Hashimoto's disease and myxedema and Graves' disease in the name of Jesus Christ. I speak healing now, Lord, in the name of Jesus, to their lungs. I bind the spirits of asthma in the name of Jesus, of emphysema in the name of Jesus. I bind the spirits of congestive heart failure and congestion in the lungs and pneumonias. And I say, come out and damage to the lungs. Lungs that have been damaged. I say, be healed. Be healed in the name of Jesus. Be healed. I say, be healed by the grace of God. That God's grace shall flow through you and you shall be healed in the name of Jesus Christ.
Come out of there, all you demons, in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out of their stomachs now. Come out of their stomachs in the name of Jesus. I bind the spirits of hyperacidity and gastric reflux in the name of Jesus Christ. And duodenal ulcers and Crohn's disease in the name of Jesus. And colitis in the name of Jesus. I break your power and I command you to go. Food allergies be gone. Infectious be gone in the name of Jesus. I bind the spirits of cystitis and vaginitis in the name of Jesus. Prostatitis in the name of the impotence in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind them and I break the power of these demons in the name of Jesus Christ. I break the power and command them to be gone. I bind the spirits of self-gratification in the name of Jesus. I bind them and command them to be gone. Go! Go in Jesus' name. Go! Go in Jesus' name. I bind the spirits of human papillomavirus and cancer. I break your power and command you to be gone. Human papillomavirus and cancer, I bind you and I command you to be gone. I break the spirits of cervical cancer, uterine cancer, ovarian cancer, colon cancer, prostate cancer. I just break the power of these things. Lung cancer, pancreatic cancer, and all the other cancers. I bind you, melanomas, and I break your power, and I command you to be gone. Lord, let your healing grace come down. Lord, I bind the spirits of fibromyalgia in the name of Jesus, Lord. I break the power of fibromyalgia, and I speak healing grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let it flow, Lord. Let it flow right now. I break the power of smell, Lord. Lord, surely, Lord, you're born all of our all of our sorrow and all of our grief. That's our sickness and our pain, Lord. Your smell. I bind the spirit of smell, of pain. I break its power. Smell. I speak to you. You leave God's people. That's right. You leave God's people. Jesus bore pain in the name of Jesus. He bore your pain. Come out, pain. Arthritis in the joints. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Arthritis in the joints, come out. Come out. Diabetes, come out. Come out. Diabetic neuropathy, I bind you in the name of Jesus. Arteriosclerosis, I bind you. Strokes and heart attacks, I bind you in the name of Jesus. Deafness, I bind you. I speak healing to God's people. Lord, let your healing grace. Everybody lift their hands and let the healing grace of the Lord Jesus Christ come down over them. Speak healing. Lord, let your healing flow over them now in the name of Jesus. More of your healing, Lord God. Let your healing grace flow over them in Jesus' name. In the mighty name of Jesus, we praise you and bless you and glorify you, Lord. For great is your name. Let your healing grace come down. Fill them, Lord, with your love, Lord. Fill them, Lord God, with your love. Fill them with your grace. Fill them with your spirit. I release into them the spirit of wisdom and understanding and counsel and might, knowledge and fear of the Lord to flow through them, Lord. Let the Father's love flow through them, Lord. And I pronounce a blessing on them, Lord God. I pronounce the Father's blessing on them in the name of Jesus, Lord. I thank you for it, Lord God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We praise you and bless you and glorify you, Lord. In Jesus' name, Lord God. In the great and the mighty name of Jesus. Would you all stand for me, please? And I say to you, my child, you're a gift from God. I thank God for allowing me to pray a Father's blessing over you. I want you to know that you're very precious, that I love you, that the Father loves you, that you've given us much joy, and we're very proud of you. I bless you with all healing from the wounds I and other people have caused you. I bless you with overflowing peace, peace that only Jesus, the Prince of Peace, provides. I bless you with fullness of life, good fruit, much fruit, fruit that remains. You are the head and not the tail. You are above and not beneath. I bless you with prosperity, for you will prosper and be in health as your soul prospers. I bless you with spiritual influence, for you are light of the world and the salt of the earth. I bless you with success, for your meditation upon the Word of God will make you like a tree planted by the waters, and your way will be prosperous, and you will have good success. I bless you with greater depth of spiritual understanding and a closer walk with your Lord. I bless you that you will not falter or stumble, for the Word is a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path. I bless you with pure and edifying relationships in the life. I bless you with abounding love, enabling you to administer God's comforting grace and love to others. You're blessed, my child. You're blessed with all spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus. I bless you with a Father's love to flow through you, that out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water, that the Father's love will flow out of you to those around you. I bless you. I bless you. You're blessed, my children. Amen?
Amen.
Now, Lord Jesus, we thank you and we praise you and bless you and glorify you. Bless the food, Lord Jesus. Bless the food and those that prepared it, and those that are going to eat it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen?
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.